So I'm going to be back here. This is my pulpit. Someone told me wherever you are at is your pulpit. How many can say amen to that? My dear brother, Jim, it's been an honor to go on this journey with you as God has been amazing. How God takes people's lives, and the reason why I wanted him to be a part of this convention is I wanted him to share about light, because this is the light of the glorious gospel. And he has the only connection that I know of seeing the true light. And we've been on a journey. But my dear brother Jim, I am, so you be at home here.
Thank you.
You know, Mama told you to sit down and just enjoy
she
in the living room of our hearts. So
thank you.
God bless you
Are
for the
live?
Next half hour. Yes,
yeah.
You're live.
Okay. Great. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. What a blessing it is to be here. I think most of you have heard my story. How many have heard what I've gone through? But I'd be remiss if I didn't take a moment and say, look, I'm convinced that God follows certain people around. And last night, God followed Richard and Teresa to this church. Because last night was a wonderful service, and I thank you so much for being here and bringing your friend Jesus with you. For those of you that have not heard my story, you're probably aware that I'm a new Christian, just a little over 4 years ago. And before that, I was a non-believer. I was an airline captain, and for me, if it wasn't in a maintenance manual, it did not exist. And not to be dramatic, but I'm 70 years old now, and I came up through the bush. I flew bush in Canada. I'm Canadian. And I came up the hard way through the bush and water flying and float flying and water bombing and so on. And had my share of close calls and always thought, boy, am I good. I walked away again. But 4 years ago, after a lifetime of perfect health, I came down with a rare disease. There were complications and I died. Now look, I know that's a stretch because it's the age of the internet and you can go online and find people that claim they go to heaven as often as I go to Walmart, which is every Saturday for dog food. The difference is we have the medical records. My wife's a nurse. And this actually happened. And I was without brain sign, which is the true definition of death, for 11 hours. Now look, time is different in heaven. It doesn't matter. That's 11 earth hours. I felt like I was there 20 years. It felt that wonderful, and there was so much to absorb. But and I don't have time today to give you all the story, but I do want to tell you this. The thing that, when I came back, scared the daylights out of the nurses, and the doctors ran and got my wife and said, we can't explain this, but your husband's breathing on his own. And they had only hours before told her to disconnect the breathing machine because, my children were on their way from Western Canada to say goodbye to me. But I was gone, no brain sign. But in those 11 hours, I saw something incredible. Now let me tell you something. I am in awe of you. I truly am. Because you have believed all your lives what I had to die to find out. Jesus is real and heaven is real. And I think the event in my life does for people is for those of you that have been faithful followers all your life, it's a refreshing. It's a confirmation of everything that you've strived for and worked for. But what I remember most about heaven was the light. The first light that I encountered was the infamous tunnel of light. And when I died, and I died in my truck, by the way, and a word of advice, if you got to die in a truck, die in a Dodge Ram. Lots of leg room. You can lay way back. I don't think Chrysler will ever use that ad, but and the first thing I do is I see myself in my truck, I see my body, and I'm ascending above the truck. I'm floating backwards. I wish I had time to show you all the slides, but I don't. But I did go through this incredible tunnel of light, and at the end of that light was this incredible place. And in that incredible place was this marvelous creator that you all have loved and continue to love. Now, many of you will recognize this picture. This is by the young girl who was an artist, who painted, had a near-death experience when she was a young girl. And she painted this picture of Jesus. And I had never seen it before. It was only when I came back and months later, after trying desperately to describe to my wife how Jesus looked, we saw this picture. And I nearly had a heart attack, because suddenly what I had seen was real and I could point it out to people. This is the Jesus that I saw. The interesting thing about, there's a benefit, you know, to being ignorant of or having a lack of knowledge. Because when I came back, I knew it was real. The doctors couldn't explain why I had come back. And I remember weeks later when I was being discharged from the hospital, the neurosurgeon said, "Jim, we don't know what to put on your discharge papers." I said, "Well, put down, Jesus sent me back." He said, "Well, you know, I can't do that." So my discharge papers read, "Spontaneous recovery." The spontaneity of Christ, I think. But I was just overwhelmed by the response to this story. But talking about the light that I saw in heaven. So when I got back, I was so, if you think that I came back running out of the church, Johnny shirt flying in the, or out of the hospital, Johnny shirt flying in the wind saying Jesus is real, I didn't. I was despondent, I was depressed. Why? Because I had had a glimpse of paradise. And now I was back on this earth. And although we have a beautiful horse farm in Canada, and I would lay there as I was recovering and I looked out over the fields and saw our horses, I was unhappy because everything seemed to be covered with a gray film. I remembered the light of heaven. That light that came out of every blade of grass, every rock, every tree. That beautiful quality of light that defies description. And I yearned for it. I just didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't want to be here. And I was severely depressed. My wife was very worried about me. And I remember laying in bed, and I'd never opened a Bible in my life, but I borrowed three or four Bibles, including my wife, my sister-in-law's. I had a laptop going, and I was trying to connect what I saw because I had no knowledge of Scripture. None. You see, I've done it all backwards. You folks have done it right. You've been raised in the church. You've studied God. You've come up through the church. You've become preachers. You've become part of a congregation. You die and you go to heaven. I go to heaven and I come backwards. So I'm trying to catch up. I'm trying to figure all this out. And so I'm laying there in bed trying to figure this out. And what really triggered it for me and why I have such a love for the Weaver family is Pastor Luke Weaver Jr. lives 50 minutes from our home. Now, I'd met him at rodeos because his daughters and my daughter rodeoed together. But I never had anything in common with Luke, so other than hello and goodbye. Luke came to see me when I got back home. And he came up to the bedroom, and I remember sitting there, and he was the first person I told this story to, other than my wife. And I was trying desperately, although I knew it was real, I needed confirmation that this just wasn't a hallucination or something. And Luke sat there, and I finished breathlessly, after about 45 minutes, and he stared at me with that weaver look. And he said the words that I will never forget. Three little words that changed my life. I believe you. I believe you. Because you see, when I was sent back, Jesus spoke to me just before I had to leave. What he said to me was brief, but it said everything. And what Jesus said to me was this: James, my son, this is not yet your time. Go back and tell your brothers and sisters of the wonders we have shown you. And I was laying in a bed, not wanting to do anything, because I wasn't following the commission Jesus had given me. A week later, Luke invites me to his church. I refused to go, and then Lorraine had a chat with me, and I knew I was going. But I remember being terrified. I mean, I've had engine failure at 40,000 feet and sweat less than I did in Luke's church that morning. But they were very warm and welcoming, and I'm sitting there thinking, let's see, well, they sing a lot in church, and then they'll take up collection, then they'll preach, and with a little luck, I'll be out of here in 5 minutes. Luke gets up and says, we're going to do a different service this morning. Jim, come on up. I get up there, and I am terrified. And then I begin to speak. And Richard, I know you've experienced this. Something came inside of me. I felt it come in me. And it was as though I had stepped aside and someone else was speaking. And I was overwhelmed that this grace, this presence had come into me. And I began to speak. And I saw how this story resonates with people and the power that God had attached to it. Not me. I'm just the conduit that he used. And so I just began to speak. And Luke mentions me to Mel. Mel brings me down here. And that's 4 years ago. I've now spoken to over 20,000 people directly, which I know is not a lot, but it is for me. Destiny Publishing found out about it, wanted to do a book, which I never thought I'd do. And I wrote the I know what it means, Mel, to write a book. I wrote 491 pages, and they had to condense it down so that people could lift it. But from that has come this wonderful, flying jets and delivering hundreds of thousands of people safely to their destination all my life was a very rewarding career. But nothing is as rewarding as telling people of the fact that Jesus is real and he is not some legend. He's not some hallucination. He's not some dusty old story. He is more real and alive today than he was 2,000 years ago. And those of you that believe steadfastly, you will see what I saw. And it is beyond description. I keep going back to the light, because the light of the angels. I was given, too, a glimpse of what hell was. And it absolutely terrified me. I was shown how the life that I had lived, the book of my life, they showed me up in the skies of heaven what I thought were contrails. And the guardians, they never called themselves angels. They called themselves guardians. The guardians said to me, James, I said, what are these contrails in the skies of heaven? You don't have jets here. He said, James, those are the prayers of your family for your soul. I saw them, Richard. I saw them. And then they showed me the holy city. And they suspended me above it, but I had an enhanced vision. I could see in 360 degrees, and it was telephotic at the same time. I could And they showed me the halls of knowledge, the halls of learning, the halls of healing. And most of all, the thing that impressed me the most was the nursery and the light that emanated from it. And I was stunned. I said, a nursery in heaven? And the guardian said, yes, James. This is where the light of the souls of the little children who are refused life by their mothers come to be raised in the glory of God. A nursery in heaven. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely stunning. And, you know, I've always been an inquisitive person. And the amazing thing was, as fast as I could think a question, they answered. The three guardians answered. And it was not even before I could finish the question, they gave me the answer. And I don't call it telepathy. It was more like a thought transference. It was like I was in their mind and they were in mine. And so I automatically knew the answer, yet it was voiced by them. And I looked down on the millions of people. Because when you look down on the city of heaven, you have to take off your earth hat and put on your heaven hat and forget everything that you've ever been taught in college or high school about spatial references, time, differential, and all the things that govern us, gravity. It doesn't exist. Some of it exists, but in a different way. And I questioned it all. And I now have, this little book, I still have 7 journals of memories of heaven that are yet to be published. And so, if I decide to do so. But it was just stunning. But I remember looking down on the throngs of people, and yet no one was crowded, and everyone seemed to have a sense of purpose. I, including myself, had on this beautiful silver cloak, and yet I could look through myself, and I was a being of light. But you had a visage. And I remember turning to the guardian, and I said, what is it that I'm seeing here and not understanding? Because it seems to me, with a few exceptions, that everyone that I look at seems to be in their early 30s. And the guardian smiled at me and looked down at me from his 15-foot height with those beautiful violet eyes. And he said, James, you are correct. No one in heaven is any older than Jesus was when he died. So the good news is, Dad, you're going to be 33 again. I'm sure. I look for Teresa, you look 33. But you know, it was stunning. As a tribute to his son and the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us, no one in heaven is any older. The exceptions were, every now and then I would see these very elegant older men and women walking by, and their robes glowed with kind of a pastel color, not just the silver color. And I asked who they were, and they said, those are God's revered prophets from the Old Testament. And you could tell that they were greatly revered because the crowd would bow to them and part. But the wonderful thing was, no one seemed to be in duress, or they all seemed to have a purpose, a sense of going, because I don't know why, but you get that question, am I going to be bored in heaven? And my old self wants to say, you idiot. But I don't say that anymore. I say, look, how could you possibly be bored when you're in a place where not only are there no shadows of any kind, there's no shadow of sin, no shadow of disease, no shadow of sickness, no shadow of despair, no shadow of jealousy, no shadow of anything that would interfere with the perfection of God's love. Is it any wonder that I miss it? Is it any wonder that I miss it? But the incredible Another incredible thing, and I'll tell you very, very quickly. I now understand the importance of living a good life. I mean, I thought I had it made. Like I said 11 minutes ago, the quintessential Canadian-American dream. All kinds of money, success, beautiful family, lovely wife. And yet I would wake up in the middle of the night saying, is this all there is? And so I figured I needed a nicer Arabian horse, a larger yacht, a faster Jaguar, and I'd go out and buy those things, and 4 or 5 days later, nights later, I would have that same feeling again. And now I know it was the yearning of my life, my soul for Christ. Because you see, what I know now is that the light that I speak of, The light of God is in each and every one of you. And that is what many of us have forgotten. The light of God is in you. You are children of the light. We got it backwards. We are not human beings with a spirit. We are spirits encased in the human body for a short period of time. That's the difference. We are not carbon spirits. We are spirits of the light. And those of you that have known God all your lives, I am in awe of you. Because despite the trials, the tribulations, the disappointments, you have remained faithful to Him. And I deserved none of this. Why me? People say to me, I've had pastors, Richard, say to me, Jim, you know, we love what you're saying, but I can't buy this. You never went to church, you didn't tithe, you didn't do this, you didn't do good works. And I, you know, all I can say is, you're absolutely right, I didn't. But do you know the one person in the entire Bible that I identify with is the thief on the cross? At the last moment, he asked that he could join Jesus in paradise. He didn't have time to crawl down off the cross, walk into Jerusalem, make an offering in the temple, pray, come back up, get back on the cross, and then ask. Jesus's forgiveness is immediate. It is immediate. And it is true. And he forgave me because there were six words that I believe allow me to be with you this morning. The first three was as I was dying in my truck in the last gasp of breath. I looked at that shaking, at that setting sun, and my hand was shaking as I was holding, trying to hold it up. And I cried out, God, forgive me. Not out of fear, but I had this overwhelming feeling, John, that I had wasted this beautiful life that God had given me. I could have done so much more with it, and now it was ending. And then when the darkness, I went through the tunnel of light, came out the other side, and the darkness came for me. That's how close I was to going to hell. They were within feet of me. And I turned to that beautiful light on the right, and I cried out, God, help me. And that is when the angels came. God had heard the cry of a man who deserved nothing and sent him everything. Sent him everything. And I'm just so grateful and then to be connected with the Weavers who have guided me in this little ministry of mine. And I'm just constantly overwhelmed by the grace and the love of God. I am so humbled by the fact that I was given this opportunity. And I know that for many of us, you work with someone and you get them, and you think you've got them back to God, and then they go away again. That's not wasted time. That's not wasted time. I spend a lot of time with the poor and the dying, and a lot of time with the dying. And not to say, oh, you know, you must accept Jesus or you're going to go. I just tell them my story. It's up to you. You have free will. It must be your decision to accept God, not something that I force on you. And as of last week, the official count of me being at the deathbed of a person who is passing is 201 people. And what a privilege that is. And sometimes, Richard, sometimes, once in a great while, just as they breathe their last and they've accepted Jesus, I see a light always over their right shoulder. And I smell the fragrance of the singing flowers of heaven. And it just completely overwhelms me. The nurses comment on it that sometimes when I'm there, they smell the flowers of heaven. Hospital room is a pretty sterile environment. So to suddenly have this beautiful scent, and it is what I smelled in heaven, the flowers of heaven that sang to me. And so, I'm sorry, Mel, I'm running a little over, but I thank you so much for listening to me. And I'm so blessed to have met all you pastors this last day or so, and because you are such an encouragement to me. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I thank Jesus for all of you.